Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast, broadcasting from the oldest grace-based web presence in the universe, and presenting the Christianity Free Gospel. This is Daniel Rouse. Would you welcome with me again the founder and... Wait a second. He's not here. Where is Michael Lilborn Williams? Well, don't hit stop quite yet because we got a special treat for you. Hang in there. We are going to hear from two long-lasting gospel revolutionaries, Don Barris Bartlett and Sean Smith, a.k.a. Java Joe. I know throughout the years, many of you have heard from both of these young gentlemen, and I hope that you are ready to enjoy what they have for us today. Many of you are aware of the challenges that these two young men are facing in their lives, both physically, logistically, just a lot of things going on. And I am just so happy that they would take some time and they would actually put in the effort. And let me tell you the effort that it takes to put a recording on based on their conditions. So with that, I want to just also let you know, hey, the recording ain't the best. There's some background noise, especially when you hear Sean talking. But please look past that because these two gentlemen have something great. And I think there's some powerful truths to share with us today. Without any further ado, I'll join you when they're done. But would you welcome with me two long-standing gospel revolutionaries, Don Barris Bartlett and Sean Smith, a.k.a. Java Joe.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is Sean Smith with Slung Dung. You know, when religion hits the fan, duck. And I'm here with my good friend, Don Barris Bartlett. And I know that y'all haven't heard much from Don recently. He's been out of pocket due to COVID-related reasons. And I have the opportunity to talk with him via this application audio that we have called Audio Hijack. And his signal's coming in nice and clear. Hi, Don. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Sean. G'day, everybody, from Don Bartlett. On the darker side of life in Magnolia Ridge Nursing Home, Alabama, USA.
All right. Y'all heard that. So hopefully we'll be able to get Don on the air more often. And I'm looking forward to that and hearing from his wisdom. Don, do you have anything to say?
Mate, keep your fingernails cut. That's the best advice I have for anyone today. Just keep your fingernails cut. Because you never know when they'll drag you up to hospital and you'll never get them cut again. I'm looking for someone to come into the nursing home to cut my fingernails. Could that be you?
Well, if I was up there, I reckon I could. But I'm confined to bed here where I am, so I don't think I'd be able to roll my wheelchair all the way up yonder.
It's a little bit like your mother used to say, always wear clean underwear in case you go to hospital or you're in an accident or something. What a strange thing to say to your kids.
Yeah, well, what a strange thing to say to me.
Well, you know, I just want to. I know that in our listeners, there's a few slow people, and I don't want them to get caught with long fingernails in the hospital. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, wow. Well, this is a treat for me to get you on the air.
I understand that. You're only human, mate.
I'm only human. That's right. Well, you and I were talking a little bit earlier about Philippians chapter 3. And I was going to take a look at verses 7 through 9. Paul has just mentioned off all of his qualifications. And he picks up here saying, But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions.
Ask away.
Do you recall from Greek, or in your experience and in wisdom, the last phrase that I read, the righteousness which is of by God by faith? What does that mean?
That is the Greek word there in usage is probably ek, the faith which is out of Christ, out of God. So it comes out of it says identifying the source of the faith, of our faith. It says he wants faith, but there are several things that go before this. Firstly, he identifies himself in Philippians as being having tribal purity. He's a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He's got national purity. He's a Pharisee. He's got religious purity. He's got moral purity. He's got purity every which way you can get it. He is, of all the people that he knows, he is probably the purest thoroughbred coming out of the stables of Israel. And he says, and all that is not worth a pinch of poop, if you'll forgive me saying it that way. It's not worth a pinch. He said, I count it all but lost, so that I can know him. I can know him. Not that I can have him. That'd be worth something, wouldn't it? But that I can know him. That I can know him. And you just repeat that phrase, that last phrase again, mate.
The righteousness which is of God by faith.
The righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, it doesn't say there whose faith it is, but we know that it's by righteousness of God. Therefore, it's not by your own righteousness. We are not going to ever have anything by our own righteousness. Before the cross, Paul said, along with, was it Isaiah? For there are none righteous, no, not one. Not one. But after the cross, Paul's message changed to, there is not one sinful, no, not one. So he was prepared to give it all up so that he can have that righteousness which really counted, which is by faith. And we know whose faith it is considering, because he says elsewhere, this life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not faith in the Son of God, faith of the Son of God. And that's hard for us to get our heads around, because we think that we have to have something to do with it. We have to have some part in our own salvation. If we could have had any part in our own salvation, Jesus didn't have to die. And we didn't have to be subjected to his faith.
Man, that's great. Well, what if you have somebody who doesn't feel like they have faith, or they're having a crisis of belief? Are you saying that those people, whether or not they believe or have faith, are still righteous?
I say it's the best thing that can happen to you, have a crisis of your own faith. Have come to a tight stage where you don't know whether you can believe in your own belief. Because, see, we talk about believing. Believing is not knowing. We pretend that it's knowing. But Paul says, I might know him, not know it, not know my salvation, not know my righteousness, but I want to know God. I want to know him. That was where my knowledge became thirsty for him. And then he says, and the power of his resurrection. He doesn't even want to know the ins and outs of 15 ways to pray for divine success in life. He doesn't want to know seven seven ways to perfect prayer. He doesn't want to know, how do I live my life in such a way that God will just come closer to me? He doesn't say, press into Jesus, because if you press into Jesus, Jesus will press into you. None of that rubbish. What he says is, I just want to know him and the power of his resurrection.
Yeah, and that's in verse 10. And the rest of that says, in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death.
So when you think about his death, what on earth, and be conformable to his death, what on earth does that mean? Well, we know that in Corinthians he says, if one died, all died. If one died, all died. Now, you never hear that preached from the pulpit, because it won't preach. Because if what is preached from the pulpit is, if you die to self, then you'll live. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, if one died, all died. And there's one that died, and his name was Jesus. And when he died, we were all taken up into his body and hidden in the cleft of the rock. While the wages of sin, which is death, engulfed him. While the waves and billows, as Psalm 22 says, all your waves and billows have passed over me. Well, in the same way that happened to Jesus on the cross, we were engulfed in him. And that is how I'm conformable to his death. I mean, you know the beautiful thing about all that, Sean? It's got nothing to do with us. Got nothing to do with us.
This was all by God. God, through Christ did all this.
The Bible says that it's God first, God last, and God everything in between. God everything. And Jesus Christ is the effulgence, Paul uses a very odd word, the effulgence of glory. It is the outshining, which is what that word means, the outshining of a glorious Father God. Jesus Christ is who it's all about. It's God first, God last, God in between. And so far I haven't used my name or yours. And the beautiful thing is this with that. If I got myself into God using some of my own abilities or my own worthiness or my own righteousness, well, guess what? I can also lose my standing in God if that righteousness, those abilities are not up to snuff. If they aren't up to, yeah, I can lose it just as easily as I can get it, which is what a lot of the church teaches too.
Now, there's another phrase in here that's previous to that last one. It says, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Now, here it says the faith of Christ, but I've looked at the language of the Greek, and it's consistently of Christ, but yet New Translation says the faith in Christ.
Yes. That is because New Translations are bound by the traditions of man. They wouldn't get printed if they said anything else. Now, the NIV, the nearly inspired version, will tell you it's faith in Christ. But the King James has the Greek proper. It's got the Greek absolutely accurately. It's faith of Christ. Romans 3:23 tells us that it's by the faith of Christ. Now, read Romans. Can you read Romans 3, verse 22? I know it takes a minute to pass over there, but I'll talk while you're doing that. And that is to say this. It starts off by saying that there are none righteous. This is a powerful chapter, chapter 3 of Romans. There are none righteous. And it says that certain people are worthy of nothing but death. But those are the same people who actually got life. I'll wait till you read that out for me.
I'm at verse 22. You want me to read that or the one before it?
I'll try the one before.
But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Let me just go back that verse. But by the faith which is in Christ. Now it is in there. But the way it is written in the Greek is by the faith which resides in Christ. The faith which...
Yeah, this was the New American Standard that I read.
Okay, the faith which is residing in Christ or is existing in Christ. So, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, remember that the Bible was written without any pronunciation. It was written without any punctuation. It was written without any chapters, and it was written without any verses. All it was one strong line of unsealed, what's called unsealed capitals, Greek capitals, from verse 1 of chapter 1 to verse chapter 16 at the end. So, here is how that. Now, read for me the next verse, if you would.
Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus.
Do you notice that there it does not say being justified by our own works, even the work of believing? Not being justified by our life, our lifestyle, our belief, our faith, nothing. It says nothing about that. What it says, if you take the punctuation and change that punctuation to how Paul wrote it, it reads, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of life and are justified. So it's a conjunction, and are justified. It says being justified, which is still same present tense, but it becomes clear if we just say and are justified. Keep reading it from me. Now read those two verses that way.
Okay. I'm reading from the King James right now. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace.
No. I want you to read, and are justified.
Okay. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Now, how many people were justified by his faith? His faith. By the faith which resides in Christ Jesus. How many people are justified? The same amount of people who all have sinned. The same all. The same all that sinned are now justified. And it didn't have anything to do with them. It had everything to do with him. How about that? I could say hallelujah right now and feel real good about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, amen. Now, I want to go back to what I had named or gotten slung dung from, and this is purely a Sean thing, but I thought it was very fitting the way this got worded. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ.
You know, I don't know how I can say this without upsetting your listeners. We say, now what is, we all know what dung means. We all know what that is. There's the word in the English language that tells us precisely what it is, and it's another four-letter word. But I'm going to use the word poop. Now, what we do is we try to add a little bit of sugar to our poop and try and make it taste like chocolate. But it doesn't matter how much sugar you add to it, all that becomes is self-righteousness. All that becomes... Yeah, it's still poop. It's still poop. And we know what he meant when he said dung. We know exactly what he meant. He meant poop. He meant that what you go into the bathroom and leave in the commode after you, that's what he's talking about. Now, I don't know if I can be any more plainer than that, but that's what he's talking about.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had used an illustration about this one time, and that's if, you know, I took a little bit of dried poop and I mixed it into a cup of coffee and microwaved it. So now everything's sterilized in that cup of coffee. Would you drink it?
I'm gonna use a very common saying in Tennessee where I come from here. Hell no. And the reason I wouldn't drink it is because how many drops of poison do you need in a glass of water not to drink it? You don't know what pathogens and bacteria is in that. Even after you dry it and microwave it, it's gonna, you know what? You can take the best coffee in the world and you add poop to it and it's still gonna taste like poop. You know, 0 + 1 = 0. 0 + 1 = 1. 0 + 5 = 5. Poop plus coffee equals poop. I don't want to thank you very much. And you know what? For that poop, most humans work their fingers to the bone and they come away and all they have is poop. And it's self-righteousness and it's loathsome to God. Absolutely loathsome to God. There's a story about a lady who fell on hard times and was invited along to a ball in Paris and wanted some jewelry. She borrowed it off her friend, Madame Marie, and she took it back the next day to a friend. Years later, they didn't see each other. Years later, they met each other, and this lady looked 30 years older, but she was only a couple of years older. And Madame Marie said, why do you look so old? She said, I work every night in the local schoolhouse scrubbing out the toilets. And because that necklace you gave me was 60,000 francs, but I lost it in the carriage on the way home that night. And I had to go out the next day and I had to buy a necklace to replace it and give it back to you. One that was exactly the same. And she said, I've been working ever since, my fingers to the bone, to try and pay back for that. And she said, and a friend said, you must be joking. That necklace I gave you was made of paste. You worked all of those years for nothing more than paste. And so I say to all of you people who are listening, are you working your fingers to the bone for poop? When you get out of this life, are you going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? By the way, what's that brown stuff on your hands? Is that what you're going to hear? Are you swapping your life for nothing more than poop? For nothing more than paste, for nothing more than self-righteousness, when all you have to do is just reach out and say, I'll take your righteousness, thank you, God, and thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah. Man, that's that just cuts me to the bone, just to think about that. You know, especially the high value I put on what I did in school and the good grades I made, my religious pedigree.
You and me going to Bible college, you and me preaching, you and me spending years in the pastorate. Exactly right, Sean.
Yeah.
When we think of that waste, the waste of that. Now, it wasn't all wasted. We learned how to pretend that we knew how to speak in Greek. But it didn't do 1 ounce of good for us with God. Not 1 ounce. It bought us nothing with God at all.
Nope, it didn't. And that's the whole premise behind Slung Dung, is that I cast it away, and I still finding myself have to having to cast stuff away from me.
Did you say throw up?
No. I said cast away, but throw up would be just as good.
Yeah. Well, look, for those of you who are listening to this podcast, you're saying to yourself right now, that's too good to be true. Well, what do you expect when God comes up with an idea? Do you honestly think that you're going to be able to find sharp bones in it? Do you honestly think you're going to find a bit of poop in it? No, it's always going to sound too good to be true, because that's what our God is like. Our God is, he goes before us, he comes after us, and from Calvary on, he became you. He became you. He became melded to you. There used to be a Sean Smith, and there used to be a God. Now there is the God Sean Smith. And that is not to call Sean Smith a God, but it's to say that we are hybridized into the actual fulfillment of creation. You don't think the creation was complete in Eden, do you? It wasn't perfection. It says in Romans that it was created subject to corruption. Well, what kind of creation is subject to corruption? A creation that is not yet complete. But along comes Jesus at Calvary and completes creation and brings you and me and the whole human race into perfection in God. Think about that.
That's powerful. Well, buddy, I think we've come to the end of our podcast today.
And don't forget, family, about Slam Dunk. Look us up here. Come back next week. There'll be more stuff here. There'll be stuff you haven't heard or haven't read. Feel free to come back and visit us whenever you want. And there'll always be something that'll tantalize and tease. And with a bit of luck, share more of our God with you.
Yep, that's right, Don. Thank you. And you've heard that. It's a wrap. So until next time, when religion hits the fan, y'all just might wanna duck.
And don't forget, keep your fingernails short.
All right, I'm gonna get right on that. I'm about to go clip my fingernails, but before we do, I hope you enjoyed that. You know, I remember when I first started listening to Michael Williams and Don Barris Bartlett on the podcast, back when I was still pastoring a Word of Faith church. That was the biggest thing that I was dealing with, was the question of faith. Whose faith was it? Like I just said, I was a Word of Faith pastor, and it was all about faith. I mean, faith was everything. But it wasn't never about Christ's faith. It was always about my faith. I'll never forget the day that Michael was talking about faith, Mark 11, 23 and 24. And I had heard that so many times my time in Rhema and growing up in a Word of Faith church. You know, if you'll say to this mountain, be thou removed. Whoever has faith, you'll be able to say unto this mountain, be thou cast in the sea. And if you don't doubt with your heart, that thing which you said, it shall be done. And I remember Michael posing the question, who has ever said to a mountain, be cast into the sea? Oh, wait a second. I mean, that's what is listed there. I picture that Jesus standing on the side of a mountain and saying, if you will say to this mountain, I remember Kenneth Hagin preached it. Kenneth Hagin Jr. preached it. Kenneth Copeland preached it. If you would be able to say unto this mountain, and if you could just believe it, you could cast it into the sea, and that which you believe, it shall come to pass. We're supposed to have the faith of God, you know, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. But the wonderful story is that God concluded all of humanity in unbelief that he might have mercy on us all. The prophet Isaiah said, who has believed our report? The sound has gone out through all the earth, but nobody has believed it. Amazing. My friends, it never was about our faith. It was always about the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ was the faith that brought us out of the old world and into the new world, a whole new world. And now I stand just like Don and Sean do. I count all of those years, all of that preaching that I did, all of that teaching that I did, all the books that I wrote, all of the Bible school classes I taught, all of the youth sessions I did, all the conferences I held, all the missionary work that I did. I count it all as dung. I count it all as poop. I was a dung slinger. But I'm done with that. I'm done with that because I found truth. I found freedom. I hope today that you found freedom. If any freedom at all, be free from faith. Because my friends, it's not about your faith. Because if you had any faith, you'd be able to say to that mountain, you'd be able to say to that sycamore tree, be dried up from the roots. The day that you can do that, the day I believe that we can believe and that we can have faith. But until then, until that moment, I think we can rest assured that the faith of Christ is enough. The faith of Christ finished the work. You know, if you think about Hebrews chapter 11, how many times I preached that chapter in the Word of Faith days. Oh my goodness. The faith of Abraham, the faith of Isaac, the faith of Moses. What is the faith that's being talked of there? I want to read this to you. If you can bear with me just a few minutes. I was just so stirred up by that idea. I just want to share a couple of my thoughts with you. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Listen to this. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So those things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And then it goes into all of the by faiths. By faith Abel, by faith Enoch, but without faith it's impossible to please God. By faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah. But whose faith? The key lies here in the beginning of the chapter and at the end of the chapter. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds or the ages were framed by the word of God. They were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen are not are made of the things which are visible. They're not made by the visible things. But how was that done? It was done through the word of God, not the word of Abraham, not the word of Enoch, not the word of Noah, but the word of God. It was God's faith that framed the worlds. It was God's faith that frames the ages. Do you think Abraham framed the ages by his faith? Do you think Enoch framed the ages by his faith? Absolutely not. It was God. It was God's faith who framed the ages. The aeons were framed by God. And oh my goodness, you just keep reading this chapter about all of these, well, what I called for years the heroes of faith, but I found out it wasn't even their faith. It was God. Why did Abraham do what Abraham did? Because of God's faith. Why did Enoch do what Enoch did? Because of God's faith. Why did Sarah do what Sarah did? Because of God's faith. Why did Moses do what Moses did? Because it was framed by God and his faith. Not Abraham's faith. Not Moses' faith. Not Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses' faith. Not all of the faith of those who were beaten, those who were martyred, those who were killed, those who were left for dead, those who were scorned, those who were enchained and imprisoned, those who were stoned and sawn in two. It wasn't by their faith. Because the same chapter tells us in verse 39, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39, that all of these so-called heroes of faith, having attained a good testimony, through faith, but not their faith, through God's faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us. That's you and me. Something better for us. That we should be made perfect apart from us. Therefore, chapter 12. I told you it started with it and it ends with it. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Here's a key. Here's the other bookend. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Now, your Bible might say our faith, but it's italicized because the word our is not in the Greek. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The author and the finisher of faith is Jesus. Oh, my friends, can you get that? It's not about your faith. The one who authored it and the one who finished it. Who authored Abraham's faith? Who authored Enoch's faith? Who authored Moses' faith? Who authored all of the story from Genesis to Jesus? It was God. And who was the one who sealed up that faith, who finished it, completed it? He hung on the cross and said, "It is finished." He finished faith. It's a done deal, friends. Faith is a done deal. It was completed by Christ. It was completed in him. Any faith that was necessary for the relationship between man and God was complete in Christ. Let me say that again. Any need for faith between man and God was complete in Christ. One man believed, the world was redeemed. One man believed in the promise of God, and the world was redeemed. My friends, if you find any freedom today, I hope you find that freedom from faith. It's not about your faith. It's not about how much faith you can produce. It's not about how much faith you can muster up. But rather, it's about the faith of Jesus Christ. It's the faith of, the faith of, the faith of, the faith of. I hope you got that from Don's teaching today. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Sean, for hosting that wonderful conversation with Don. How wonderful it is to hear from both of you. We wish you the very best, and we hope that both of you recover swiftly. And I hope, just as the Bible talked about, that you will enjoy a long, satisfying life. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Before we leave from here today, I want to remind you, coming up very soon, next week, that is, we will begin the pledge drive. The pledge drive begins next week, so get your money ready. Start making those bank transfers because we're going to start asking you to reach deep into your pockets and help us if you can. And so it is. We must leave you, family and friends. If you'd like to know anything about the Gospel Revolution, then call our office on 832-318-9339. And speak to us about how you want to participate. Or go to www.gospelrevolution.com and hit the connect link. You can find us on your favorite social media network, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Please be sure to hit that subscribe, share, and like button on whatever platform you are listening. Now, on behalf of Michael Lilborn Williams, Don Barris Bartlett, and Sean Smith, it's Daniel Rouse saying good night. We sure hope that you enjoyed today's PowerCast. And remember, we're coming back next week, and we're going to do it all over again, only it's got to get better.
Deconstructing religion and barbecuing the sacred cows of Christianity before your very eyes. You are listening to
Gospel Revolution.